after it happened. Then, what was it called? They've sold. So we have a new owner now. So now we're going to be known as a completely new gym. So we're going through like a rebrand of everything.
So you're not Burn anymore.
Nope. We're not Burn.
Are you going to be F45?
No, we're going to be something like private. Like I think the name they told me was like Highland Park Burn Fitness or something like that. So some really like generic name. Really, that's what they tell me. I don't know. Nothing's set in stone, but that's just like news that I found out like Monday. So that's been interesting. So like my job has been ups and down. So like in order to, ever since I started, now I'm just like, you know what? This can be a good opportunity because like the downside of my job before, I was locked into a contract. So there's no way for me to like pressure them into giving me like better pay or pressure them to give me better stuff because I was locked in contracts.
No leverage.
Exactly. But now I have all the leverage because it's the new owner. And I have pretty much like, I know if I leave, half the members of the gym are going to go with me because a lot of them said they don't care what gym it is as long as I'm still there. So if I'm gone, most of them won't keep coming back. So I have like all the leverage I need to get like a better pay. If benefits are optional or not optional, but are an option, I can get those too. And like, we'll see how it goes from there. So, and if I'm lucky, I might be able to use enough leverage to not work weekends anymore.
Nice.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Are
you still the only person in the building?
Pretty much. Like, we still have the one part-timer that works front desk every once in a while. But, yeah, pretty much. I'm the only trainer, which is, like, the main job. So, yes. So, we'll see how that progresses. I'm like, I'm not going to work weekends. So, like, that's 6 days a week. I'm not working weekends if I'm the only person covering all the camps. So I'm like, screw that. Like, I'll pick up more, like, evening shifts or, like, another class to make up for, like, the classes I teach on Saturday. But I'm like, I'm not working Saturdays anymore. Especially because the only reason I was willing to work Saturdays now or before was because my boss would take off or take the weekends I always take off. But now I don't have that because the guy that owns the gym doesn't train. So at least I don't think he does. So I'm really hoping he doesn't. So that way I just don't have to work Saturdays and that'd be amazing. Boom. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. What was, we were talking about, you got a membership at a different gym finally, so you can lift more than 90 pounds.
That sucks. So that was on Monday, and so because of my gym, it's like a group exercise class and it's mostly catered to women, so the weights aren't very particularly heavy. Like all we have are dumbbells and kettlebells, so like the heaviest weight I think is 45 pounds for the dumbbells, and like the kettlebell I think goes up to like 50 something pounds, maybe 60 if I'm wrong. So like not the heaviest things in the world. Like if you're going for like high intensity workouts, perfect weight for that. But I don't want to do that every single day all the time. So
right. Because some of that, days you just want to get big.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. I just want to go lift heavy. I want to get big and just feel like accomplished after a workout instead of dying after a workout. So because of that, I'll go through like slumps of like going through workouts and then I'll like take a month or two off and then go through like another rut of like motivation and go through another. And it was just ups and down cycles. And I'm just like, screw this, I'm done. So I'm just gonna get a membership at a gym that's like 5 minutes from my apartment. So, and now I work out at Export, but because I've been at home and at my parents' house, I've only been able to go there once this week and I've been real upset about it. But, the thing is, because of that, now I'm really excited to like keep going to workouts. And I started posting on Instagram on my story. So for those of y'all that want to like follow me and like support me and keep me on my shit so I don't like skip a day, follow my story and like make sure if I skip a day, call me out and keep me accountable because that would be really helpful. I already got 4 people helping me out, so that's progress. So nice. Like, that'll help me keep going. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm excited. Big weights.
Nice. I did leg day for the first time in 2 months the other day.
Yeah.
How'd that go? I squat. You know, it didn't. It was felt all right. I can't even think of what the name of the doctor is. The orthopedic. That's what it is. The orthopedic was like, he basically told me, he's like, yeah, you're probably not going to have a lot of issues squatting. He goes, but lunges are going to kill you. Okay. So I stayed away from those. I did squats. I only did 95 pounds. And
yikes.
It just, you know, I knew I could do more, but I just wanted to take it easy, see how I felt before I really jump all the way back in. But I didn't tell you. So you know that the monkey foot thing with from the knees over toes guy?
Yeah.
The like the boot with the claw. I bought one.
Really?
It was supposed
I
to
was
get
tempted to get one, but I was
it
like,
was. It was supposed, yeah, I broke down and bought one, but it was supposed to get here today, and I was like so excited, I was so excited to like do leg day when I got home today, and it wasn't here. It got pushed to tomorrow.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, but so no. I'm really excited to do leg day tomorrow once that finally gets here. But so you know how on Tuesday when we were supposed to record, I told you guys I was feeling like shit. So listen to this. So Sage made this like chicken and shrimp like dinner thing, and we were so we were both kind of like out of it, and so today Kroger called Sage and was like, hey, we saw that you bought this shrimp at this date that it was supposed to expire, this date, whatever, it's been contaminated with salmonella. So yeah, we found out today why we were both just feeling like shit afterwards. Yeah, but I was really happy because I had brought the chicken and shrimp for lunch to eat today, and I didn't have time to eat today at work, so it was like I called her on my way home, and she told me about this. I was like, wow, I'm really glad that I didn't eat this lunch that I brought today, because then I would be feeling like shit all over again. And
That's brutal. Let's say I'll get at the real gross question, but I'm not going to ask that question. Never mind. We'll skip that question. But
why? Yeah. Well, like, we haven't talked about anything gross on this podcast before.
I'm just like, which end was it gonna come? Did it come out? Like, was it like the front end or the back end? I'm like, no, that's not a question we need to know.
Well, luckily it wasn't like that bad. Like, okay, it was more just like my stomach just felt like in knots, and had like it zapped all the energy out of me. It wasn't like coming out of everywhere or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was like, luckily it wasn't just like a shrimp dinner. It was like chicken and shrimp. So I only had like a few of the pieces, and but because they were cooked together, it was probably all contaminated and
probably. And yeah, that'd probably not be a good mixture you'd have, but I mean, at least you guys got like an answer versus like,
like what whenever, the hell happened?
Yeah, like I feel like whenever people get sick now, it's like, oh, this is probably COVID or something. Even though like the symptoms might be completely different, but people are automatically assume when you're sick, it's probably COVID or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
Because what the world we're in now, so it's at least you got your answer very quickly versus like wondering for like a day or two, like, am I sick? Am I not? Do I need to take off work? Like all this blah blah blah. So
that there's actually a reason for it.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a reason for it, but it's well, what the reason is.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so I was telling you before we started recording, which I didn't tell you guys we were recording, but I started recording for your
work update. I noticed you turned it on. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to keep going. Just make it smooth.
So I just like turning it on because we always start talking about stuff, and I always think, man, we should save this, just talk about it on the while we're recording, but so I just hit start. But anyway, so I was telling you guys about Google Alerts and how like I just found out what this is, and it's really cool. So I got an alert today about, let's see, this.
Well, you should probably start with explaining what Google Alerts for those of us that don't know, because I didn't know about it until you just started talking about it earlier.
Well, I didn't know what it was either, and I don't even remember. So me and Sage started watching Veep. You know, it's an HBO series about the vice president. Okay. It's pretty fun. It's pretty silly. But so one of the guys, it's like about Washington, D.C. and like all the political stuff. And it's funny seeing that in a not serious like world right now, because all politics is all crazy right now. But one guy set up a Google alert. So every time your name gets brought up, the article gets emailed to me. So I was like, huh, that's interesting. So I just set up a Google alert for dodgeball. And now anytime there's like an article published about dodgeball, it just gets emailed to me. But anyway,
let's see. Like, I wonder how like specific that gets. Like, does it like get to like specific links? Does it show you videos? Does it show you articles? Does it show you like everything? Because like, I feel like if you can at least like filter out like what you want and what you don't want, it can give you like a lot, or it can give you like more, I guess, like more real sources versus like, oh, someone was playing dodgeball in their elementary school where it's kind of like for shits and giggles, someone recorded a dumb video or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know because I'm still learning, but I have gotten So I've gotten this one email twice about this dodgeball video game, where one was like the release, and then now the second one is like some of the reviews.
Yeah.
But there's a video game that I've opened up the link like six times. I don't know why I don't just click on the tab. It's made by Academia. I don't know if that must be some kind of game company, but it's an anime dodgeball RPG, and they say it reminds like people of NBA jams, like it has those vibes. It looks kind of sweet. I don't know if I guess I could send that to you. I don't know how on the computer, but I'll send it over to you guys. It looks kind of cool. It looks like, you know, I think the one that's in development right now, it looks like almost like a Japanese version of that, where it's like the court and there's anime people on each side. And I think you can do special throws and stuff. I don't know. I didn't look that far
like,
into it.
I think there's like a couple of dodgeball games, and a lot of them always have some type of like special cool throw. Like it never, like one thing I really want for dodgeball is to be like, you know how like basketball, there's like very few like special effects in basketball. It's usually just the real game of basketball. You might get a couple like cool characters or like couple like avatars that are really cool, but the game itself is like exactly the same. But dodgeball, usually like there's never like a real game of dodgeball. It's always like you get like special effects, like you get a flame ball, or you get like an electric ball or a ball that teleports. I don't know. I never played any of the games, but I see like little clips. So like the ball always has some type of like really cool effect to it, but it's never like a real game, like if that makes sense. Like I would love to see like a real dodgeball RPG game.
What about like NBA Street?
I'm not counting those. Like I'm talking about like 2K. Right, I want to get on a 2K level where like you like the real game.
All right, fine. Here, I'm dropping this link to you guys right now so you can take a look at it. It's crazy how internet works. All right, so there you go. And then the other thing that was there was that the World Dodgeball Association and the United Through Sports, I don't know if they're an association or a group or whatever, but they signed a, and I tried to say it earlier and you guys giggled at me, but a memorandum, I don't know.
The hell. You said it differently the first time. You said it three different times.
Memorandum. I'm gonna go with that one. A memorandum of understanding, or an MOU for short. Basically, what it's saying is that they're committed to work together to foster inclusion and youth development and equality through dodgeball. That's what the rest of the title of the article says. Didn't read the article, but just figured it was interesting to bring up. Caleb, will you look up what that word means?
So, first off, it's pronounced memorandum.
That's what I said the last time. That's what I stuck
you
with.
You said that the first time, and then you went somewhere else.
Dyslexia sucks.
And a memorandum of understanding is a legal document describing a bilateral agreement between parties. It expresses a convergence of will between the parties, indicating an intended common line of action rather than a legal commitment.
So it's just like a handshake saying that they'll do it.
Makes sense.
Basically.
Fun.
Yeah. But I thought that was cool. Interesting.
Yeah, like I think that's like the right step in the right direction, like for dodgeball. Like we, like I know we talked about, and I don't know if we talked about it, but I know like in a lot of dodgeball conversation, like the big thing is like getting a new generation to replace the generation before them, and then replace the generation before them. Because as we know, dodgeball players are getting older, and you never get younger, so you always need fresh blood to kind of replenish. Like I noticed that in our league, at least in our league where I play, we mostly have older players. Like we have. Thank God we finally got like a new wave of like younger players coming in. I was actually worried if they weren't going to come back after COVID, but they're still there. I think they're most of them are in college age. So, and we have like a handful of kids that come in and play too. So at least we got something going in terms of younger kids playing. It's just a matter of getting them into the competitive scene. So I don't know if they'll ever take that step, but at least it's a step in the process, just getting into social leagues and playing there. So getting something like that where it's like organized sport, or at least getting kids in the door, just playing the sport outside of just in their school or outside of just their camps or outside of wherever they may play dodgeball randomly, to play it more consistently, more in their lives, more kind of sucked into the life and then get them into the competitive scene when they get older.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we talked about last week with Dr. Brewer about really not so much going after in the schools, but really going after the kind of recreation centers or like after school type activities. That's where we need to try to make our mark as, you know, the dodgeball community, but tailor it towards the younger generation where we can get kids involved where they want to go play dodgeball after school instead of like basketball or whatever it is, but where they get all their friends together. And that's I think will be the key to really starting them young. And then once they get to like college age, they can look at schools like, oh, hey, this school has a dodgeball NCAA team. If not, how do I start one? Or they get some, even just looking what the NCAA is before they go to school. So if they've already committed, they say, all right, I need to reach out to these people because I want to start one because everything I've seen, heard, read about sounds awesome, and I want to continue my dodgeball career. So that's how we're going to get more growth.
Yeah, and that's the part about it, just figuring out what that step is. How do we move forward toward that step? How do we make sure that's it doesn't just crumble after like attempting to start it. You got to make sure it's able to last long after we initially started. So that'll be the journey. That'll be something we'll figure out as a sport. Hopefully we get the right people able to do it. Cause I know I don't know how to do any of that. So hopefully we get the right minds in order to do it. Cause I know my mom, I had this conversation with my mom once. She was like, why don't you just grow dodgeball and like go to the youth center or to do the park district and just do a dodgeball thing there. And I'm like, I would love to do that if I had time or if I knew what I was doing or had money or whatever it is. Cause I know park district, like if you get a good program, like I think if you toss them a good idea and they like it, they'll just do it for you. Yeah. I mean, not for you, but you'll at least probably be running it, but they'll fund everything for you. So you can just get,
it can be a lot more hands off.
So that'd be something that'd be going.
Set it in motion.
Yeah. Let's say I would love to be like, here's an idea. You guys run with it. I don't have to do anything. I'll like supervise. I'll like give you guys rules. I'll get you guys started.
I'll show up.
Yeah. That thing. I'll show up. I'll even play, wreck a few kids. And then that'll be my whole day right there.
Yeah. So we were again talking before we started recording the FDC and the update on the vaccine protocol for the venue. This is what you were telling me, Miles, that it's the venue that's requiring and not so much.
I believe so, at least from what I think I read correctly. I might be wrong, but don't quote me on this. But I'm pretty sure it's the venue that whatever, it's fine. I've been wrong before, but I think I believe it's what it is. It's the venue saying that, because I know the venue, at least you have to have masks when you enter the facility. And I don't know if they're requiring masks right now. I might be mixing this up with like two other tournaments I have, so I might be wrong, but from what I think I read about the FDC, they require vaccinations. They require if you aren't vaccinated 2 weeks prior to the tournament, you have to show up with a negative COVID test 48 hours prior to. The mask situation, I don't think they're requiring it yet. I think get in the building with the mask, but once you get outside the mask or out into your playing area, you can take it off. I know other tournaments that I'm going to in the next like week or two or in the month or so, they're all going to be vaccinated required or COVID test required and then mask required as well for the tournaments I'm going to. So that'll be interesting. Because I know I have one this weekend that's a local one. I have one in Virginia. I'm pretty sure that one's mask required as well. But they'll be looser on the rules sets once you're like, one. I think of like when you're playing, if you need to like take your mask down and kind of catch your breath and then put it back on, you'll be fine. But it depends on how strict everyone is in terms of like social distancing. Because I know whenever you start to like get large groups of people, especially when they get all friendly with each other, no one really social distances. So they'll have to probably crack down on the masks when they're there. So we'll see how it goes from there. But yes.
I'm reading the post right now. Reading the post. And so the deadline for getting vaccinated and then having 2 weeks is October 30th. So if you don't have either of the shots. I don't know how much time is it in between. It's like a month or something.
I don't know. I got the Johnson & Johnson. That was a one shotter, so I don't know. But I think it's like a couple out? Days. Yeah, I don't know. I know that one banned for a while. I got it like 2 or 3 days before it banned. I'm like, well, this will suck. But apparently, apparently the negative side effects mostly affected women, so I was fine either way. But yeah. My diet is fine. But I know that was a one shotter, so I don't know how long you had to wait. I think it was like a week between shots.
Or, I thought it was longer than that. I thought it was like three.
It says 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, okay. I was just guessing. I wouldn't know, but yes.
So if you haven't had any yet, then you would have to have your first shot like the beginning of October.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I don't understand it. I get that hopefully the safety of people is like front and center, mm-hmm. but even with the vaccine, you can still carry it, transmit it, and get sick.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with the vaccine, yes, you could still have all those, but the thing is with the vaccine, it limits your severity of symptoms. So, like, instead of getting hospitalized for it, like, not everyone can get hospitalized, but it decreases your risk of getting hospitalized and having severe after symptoms. Like, mm-hmm. especially if you get hospitalized, you might still have, not symptoms, but like lasting effects afterwards, like your breathing might be affected, especially for an athlete, that's really bad. Or you might mm-hmm. have more severe symptoms afterwards. But the vaccine, all it does is like pretty much from what I heard, it gives you basically a flu and then you're good afterwards. So
it really just reduces it softens your risk, the blow a little bit.
Basically. So instead of going to the hospital, you won't really need to go to the hospital. You still have to quarantine, but it'll reduce your effect on yourself and possibly others. So yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, and it says masks are required for entry into the Drive Nation facility, but will not be required during gameplay.
Yeah.
Players, if they so desire, may wear masks during gameplay.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know about the waiting area or if like you're outside. Like I know if like once you're in your zone, like area, I think they won't require a mask, but that probably will change once November comes around. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, again, it is Texas. Texas doesn't care about how, because I was actually surprised they required a mask just to get in the building, to be honest, but it is what it is.
It says,
but we'll see where it goes from there.
It says water fountains will not be available for use.
Yeah, that'll suck.
Bring your water, people.
Yeah, buy lots of water. Let's just buy like 24 packs, because bringing a water bottle is useless on a plane anyway, because you'll have to carry that thing around.
Yes. All right, should we get into what this episode's actually supposed to be about?
Yeah, right. I was thinking about looking at the timer. Yeah, look at the time, like, geez, we're going a while into this rabbit hole, but it's fine.
Yeah, but sorry, let's get into kind of what we wanted to talk about today. We really wanted to focus on kind of the, I don't know if you want to call them stubborn areas, but the more difficult areas to grow in your body and why some of the training might not be working for people. And I'll start off kind of with an example just so we can kind of get in the right headspace and people realize what the hell I'm talking about. But so you know how like, I don't know if it's like a bodybuilder thing or if it's just a life thing where people get worked up because they can't get their calves to grow?
I know what you're talking about, but yeah, not with the calves specifically, but yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess it might be like the bodybuilder world, but like people just get so upset that their calves just don't grow. And I never had that issue because I have fat kid calves. Just being a fat kid growing up, my calves just immediately grew and now are just huge forever. It's an issue. Like I the back of my calves are bald because when I wear jeans, it just like rubs the hair out of all of them because the jeans are so tight around my calf.
That's funny.
But so anyway, so like half of the issue is understanding what types of muscle fibers make up your calf and thinking about your calves' daily use. You know, what do you do with your calves all day? You're not doing well. I guess I shouldn't say you're not doing anything explosive, heavy lifting wise. A lot of people are just walking around and or sitting. So when you look at your calves' daily daily use, daily function. It's low intensity, kind of steady work throughout the day. So there's a lot of that slow twitch muscle fiber, which that is the smaller muscle. Well, you know what I mean? It doesn't grow like a fast twitch muscle.
Yes.
So when you're trying to grow that muscle, doing calf raises at the end of your leg workout isn't going to do a whole lot. You need to look at it like it's like your chest or your back or your quads, where you need to be doing something other than what it does all day, every day. You know, you should be doing those heavy weighted calf raises with like a barbell on your back, doing some of the lower reps, but more sets, like working your volume so that it's something different than what your calves do every day. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You broke it down in like a, it makes sense. You just broke it down in a weird way, but it definitely makes sense.
I feel like I talked in a circle a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. but like basically what he's trying to get at, like you have to basically change, you have to basically change your routine. So like, because the muscle with fiber type that the calves are, like, for those of you that don't know, there's two different types of muscle. Actually, there's like more than that.
There's,
but like,
yeah, more
two,
than that.
But there's two, to make it real simple and not get super into science, there's two main muscle fiber types. There's fast twitch and slow twitch. Slow twitch is really what controls your endurance exercise. So long duration, able to keep up for a long period of time. This is the muscle fiber type that's very thin. It doesn't require a lot of muscle mass, so that's why, like, you see your marathon runners, you see your distance runner, they're all tiny, they're all stick figures for the most part, because they're not going to need a lot of weight because their body is very efficient at keeping movement going for long extended period of times. And then you compare that with the same similar sport for running, sprinters. Okay, very powerful, very explosive, very strong athletes, and they're mostly comprised of fast twitch fibers, and those are very short duration, all about explosive power, all about strength power. So duration is like, at most, depending on what type of athlete they are, it's less than like 10, 15 seconds of an exercise or really any type of contraction. So that's why there is a lot more muscle mass, a lot bigger muscle mass. So that's why typically when you bodybuilders, they're looking for more of that fast muscle type or fast muscle fiber type, where it's just bulker, bigger, I don't want to say leaner, that's not the word I'm going for, but just more explosive type, that bigger bodybuilder, like the Arnold Schwarzenegger look is what they're looking for. So just mass on top of mass on top of mass. Yeah.
He had some outside help, but yeah.
I mean, so, the look, I meant the look, not the exact color composition. I was going for the look itself.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
But understanding what muscle fiber makes up the muscles you're working on helps you, one, understand how to, totally brain farting right now, but when you...
How to look at training.
Yeah, but when you want to change it up, when you're looking to change it up so that way it adapts. I don't know.
I'm blanking on... not proprioception. Oh, what the damn word? I know the word, but god damn it.
When you want to change up how that muscle actually works so that it has to adapt to the new stimulus. So understanding how much that muscle is made up of, like your calves are mostly that slow twitch, like we said. So it recovers a lot faster. So upping your frequency will also help. So if you train calves once a week and you do three sets of 20 of just bodyweight calf raises, you're not going to see much growth or change, because that isn't adding extra stimulus to those calves, forcing them to grow. Whereas if you do, like I said, you put 225 on your back and do some low volume but heavy calf raises four times a week, you're going to see some big changes. And I think people look at actually building your abs like the same way, where it's the end of a workout, it's kind of an afterthought, where it's just three sets of 20 crunches. Yeah. Your abs are engaged a lot throughout the day whenever you're moving. So it's that same kind of mentality.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I thought you were going to keep going. But yeah, I definitely agree with, like, it's it's something that you kind of like get into a rhythm when you don't really think about it. Like, that's why you have to approach every workout with like the mindset of a goal, mindset of what you're looking for in terms of what your goal is. Because if you just kind of go into the flow, like just go into the gym, all right, I'm just gonna hit legs and don't really have a plan for your legs, you're not really gonna see growth, or at least you won't see progression in the way you're looking for it, because you're not really thinking about it. You're not really putting that much effort into it. You're just kind of, I'm here, let's just get over with, let's get out. Mm-hmm. And maybe do some, like you said, maybe do some abs on the way out, or maybe some, do some last minute calf raises on the way out. But if you come into each workout with a game plan, it doesn't even have to be like a very long detailed game plan, but maybe like before you get into the gym, be like, okay, I want to hit quads, I want to hit glutes, I want to hit hamstrings, and I want to make sure I hit these specific exercises to really target those and make sure I have a general idea of what rep count I'm going for the goal that I'm looking to achieve. So if I'm looking for a leaner look, mm-hmm. or a little bit slimmed down, maybe higher reps, lower sets. But if I'm going for more of that bulkier look with a little bit stronger muscle contraction with it, then go lower reps. Or I'm sorry, lower reps, more sets. And then if you're kind of just like, mm-hmm. I just want to be healthy, then just kind of find some hybrid of the two, mix it up, change it up. It's always fun to kind of mix up the workouts, and that way you can get see some of your progression in your goals, and that way you're able to have a game plan and be a little bit more successful in what the look or the progressions you're looking for, or the performance goals you have in mind. Like, as long as you have a game plan, you'll be more successful versus just kind of going to the gym, hoping for the best, and expecting things mm-hmm. to happen after that.
Yeah. Then there's like a negative feedback loop, I think, with a lot of people that first start going to the gym, because like, what are the first few things that they start hitting? Chest and arms. Maybe some legs, like doing squats. Yeah. So mm-hmm. those things have a lot of fast twitch muscle fibers in them. So you can get rewarded easily if you go in and like, especially your chest is a lot of fast twitch. So you go in and you lift heavy bench press once a week, you're going to still see results in your chest, and your chest is going to start building. Where, and then knowing that your calves are not, but you're doing the same, like we said, like doing higher reps, no weight, you know, that you're not going to get that same feedback. So mm-hmm. knowing what your muscle is comprised of and how much fast twitch versus slow twitch, and what, like you said, what your goal is, especially us as dodgeball players, like if I came to you and said, all right, I want to be more explosive in my takeoff for the start of a game, I want to be able to jump higher, you know, I want to improve my quickness, you wouldn't give me, okay, do 5 sets of 20 calf raises, no. Just body weight. No. There's that totally is counterintuitive to what my goal is. Mm-hmm. So as athletes, we want to be doing that more explosive, building that fast twitch, especially in our legs.
Yep, and, definitely agree.
And maybe it works a little bit better with your core, because your core, you do want it to be stabilized throughout and have a little bit more muscular endurance throughout a game. Mm-hmm. But knowing what you're using it for will help you develop it to reach those goals faster. And yes. Like going in with a plan and understanding. Now, if you do a quick Google search, it'll pop right up. So this isn't something that you need to be a certified personal trainer to figure out. Like, if you just pull up a Caleb, go to Google right now and just search like muscle fiber anatomy of the body, and see if it pulls up like a little chart that has drawings of like all of your muscles and shows what it mostly is comprised of.
I have a structure of the skeletal muscle. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but does it have like little pop-out boxes that says like your pectoral major, minor, mostly fast twitch, or mostly...
Oh, you might have to look up like slow twitch versus like fast twitch, like muscle breakdown or anatomy breakdown, something like that.
Yeah, this is why I'm not the official Googler of Fallout.
What's that? The only reason I'm able to kind of figure that out is because I had to do this stuff for college, and I would have to look that up all the time. So, like, learning how to and word things was key to my success. Also, yeah. Finding the answers to tests on like Quizlet, key. You had to word things very specifically. Most of it was copy and paste, but it got me through college.
Yeah, but even if you just Googled like explosive chest training, because you know that's what you're looking for, or strength building abs, like an article will pop up that'll give you more of a breakdown, you know?
Yeah. No, I definitely agree.
Let's see if I can find something, Caleb?
No.
No.
I think I found some. All right, hold on. Oh, this is where I would do glasses for. Oh, it doesn't really point to any specific muscles, really. It's just kind of pointing at generic areas. But there is a pic. There is a couple of pictures that do point. So, like, what you have to look up is like fast twitch versus slow twitch muscle guide, and then it gives you some more. Hold on,
I'll show you what I got here.
Oh, that's a YouTube video. That's not what I want.
Yeah, YouTube video could still be.
Well, I know, helpful. But I clicked on a picture and it sent me to a YouTube video that wasn't really going to help me unless I scroll through the whole video. So like basically what it does. Oh, there's a picture where it shows like. That's not the most helpful, but like it's showing like a picture of a deltoid and then it's pointing to the muscle fiber itself and then it's pointing at different parts of the muscle fiber, showing you which part is fast twitch, which part is slow twitch. But unless you're looking for like a whole body anatomy of like which muscles are slow twitch, which muscles are fast twitch, I mean, technically you're going to find that in every muscle group. Every muscle really has like fibers of slow twitch versus fast twitch. It depends on how you train them and which ones take priority over the muscle. So that's really what it comes down to. It's not really like your bicep has your bicep is fast twitch and your tricep is slow twitch. That's not really how it works. It's all muscles have the fibers in them. It's more
right. There's a blend.
Yeah. So that's the word. It's a blend. So it's which ones take more of a priority based on what stimulus you're giving it.
Did you see what I just sent you guys?
I will look it up real quick. Oh, that's what you're talking about. I definitely agree. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. So maybe we'll post that. That way we don't just sound like crazy people. Well, mostly me. Don't sound like crazy people. People can actually see what we're talking about.
I agree. But what I will say is the advice that we're talking about right now, that will cover for mostly like new people. That'll cover like, I don't want to say veterans because most veterans would know that, but like people that have been in the gym for a while but don't have any formal education training behind them. So like what we're talking about now will get applied to most of them. Now, for those of the people that have either like been to the gym for years and they know how to grow their body the way they want, but they're kind of seeing like some stagnation, changing your routine is going to make a huge difference. So like if you've been training heavy, like we talk about like phases of training many times on many different episodes, and you're kind of just going into your consistent routine over and over and over, over months, over years, and you really haven't changed your workouts, maybe like switch things up. Maybe go like a couple weeks where you kind of like take a deload week or even a deload month where you kind of go lighter weights, higher reps, just to see how your body reacts to it, and then come back into that heavier, lower reps, heavier weights, and see how your body responds to that. You might be able to see some gains. You might be able to see some more strength. You might be able to see bigger muscle growth. You might be able to see a whole bunch of different things if you kind of just switch the routine up, because if your body kind of does the same thing over and over and over, your body gets more and more efficient at being productive at whatever stimulus you give it. So if you keep doing the same thing over and over and over, your body eventually will stop adapting because it's gotten to a point where it's not needed anymore. So if you change things up, your body will start to get better at whatever else you're doing then. And then you throw it back into the old routine, your body's gonna be like, oh, this is new. Let's rev things up. Let's get more efficient. Let's build up more muscle if we need it, build up more things if we need it, let's get somebody and ready to basically start the whole process over from scratch, but basically you're just kind of giving your body a jump start to get to the goals you want a little bit faster than before.
I was really happy that I was getting ready to yell if you were about to say muscle confusion, because that is the worst term.
Nope.
That get tone and muscle confusion are two of the worst terms in fitness.
Like, but, how does, like, I could let it slide, and like it's a national thing. Like, muscle confusion, I've never heard anyone say that except you, so I'm like, I'll let that one go. But like, getting toned, like, yes, it irks me, but I'm like, there's no, like, most people don't know what a replacement word for toned is. So that's why I let it slide, because it's like,
yeah,
it's muscle growth, but a lot of people don't really want to grow. They just want to be able to be more defined, which is why I allow tone to be what it is, because it's just more muscle definition and loss of body fat. But it's hard to say that in one word without it being toned. So I let it slide.
Yeah. Well, it just irks me for some reason. And I don't know if it's just because I know what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know what they mean.
Yeah,
where they don't know what it is. They know what how they want to look, but they don't know what it takes or what I'm about to educate them on.
Yeah,
that's where it, like, so it's kind of like the Orange Theories or pre-workouts or all these things that are kind of like rooted in just like seeds of truth that they've just kind of like taken off.
Yep.
But muscle confusion, it's like you were saying, like, your body is an adaptation machine. Like, it is wild, the things that you can do, like that Wim Hof guy who sat in a freezing lake for like an hour and a half. I can't do that. Hell no. Like, it's I would have to work at that. Or those Swedish guys that sit in a sauna for 2 hours. Like, no, I can't do that. It is a process. It's like, it's working up to things. So like you were saying, when your body gets really good at something, like, your body doesn't want to change because it takes a lot of energy to change. And your body naturally wants to store that energy for when you need it. It's like that caveman part of your brain where it, like, we're going to probably need this later. Let's enjoy like being gluttonous and having this excess energy right now, because in a week we might need it, or we might need it tomorrow. Like, we might have to outrun a lion tomorrow. Like, there's like, so there's evolutionary advantages to why we do that, or was now in our modern society, like, that's not really a thing.
Yeah.
So getting your body to adapt to something and then throwing a different stimulus at it forces your body to adapt to something else. So that in turn forces change.
Yeah.
All right. I just want to make sure I didn't get too into the weeds on that.
No, you're good. You just got a little triggered by it. Which is why it's funny.
I did get a little triggered.
But yeah, like, and the thing is, like going back to like the original topic, like with muscle growth and everything, there's a lot of different factors that will contribute to your muscle growth. So like, for example, like your sex, like being male or female, men are gonna generally have a easier time gaining muscle mass, mostly because of testosterone, but also just an anatomy as well, and just hormone levels, because testosterone is really what boosts muscle growth and recovery and a lot of other benefits to it. And because women don't have very high levels of testosterone, they're gonna have a harder time growing it. Another thing that's going to be a major cause to it is also going to be we've talked about this before, but the more you eat, the more your body's going to be able to produce with that energy to whatever your goal is. If you're eating well-balanced diet, getting your protein in, the more you eat, the more your body's going to be able to grow from that energy, excess energy, to be able to apply to muscle growth and recovery. All right. Also, age will also play a role. The younger you are, the easier it is to grow muscle mass. The older you get, the more to slow it down, because it's not exactly necessary. Once you get outside of your like prime window, I think it's like, well, it depends on what type of sport, what type of what your definition of prime is, but anywhere from like 21 to I think 26, 28 is outside of your prime. Like, I think 28 is kind of pushing it, but I think 26 is like right around when most I guess researchers will consider like your prime. And after that, your cells start to die faster than you can replenish them. So your prime is somewhere around 25 or 26.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, I know. But if it makes you feel better, I'm like right outside that cut. So like, I hit 26 a couple months ago. So I'm like, I'm starting to get to that, like outside of that prime zone. So, but yeah, based on like most research, like 26 is kind of the cutoff. So Once you kind of get to that point where your cells start dying faster than you can replenish them, you're outside of that prime. So then your body's like, okay, why are we holding on to all this excess muscle growth when we could be doing so many other more productive things and that doesn't require as much energy? So you'll notice, like, as you start to get older, you might slim down a little bit more. It might be harder to keep the muscle mass on no matter how much you're eating. It might be harder to keep energize yourself because you have so much extra muscle on top of you. So there might be a lot of different things that make it harder for your muscle growth or sustaining that muscle growth as well. So there's a lot of different factors that can contribute to developing muscle mass, and I know I'm probably missing some, but if you have any other ideas, what else can contribute to it, Brad, let me know.
I would just say, like, getting after it early will help you sustain it for longer. That's been proven, where if you set good habits when you're younger, that it's easier to carry it into your later years. But I'm still honed in on that whole prime thing. You know, you got me a little depressed now. I'm sick with, like, the MMA standard of prime, where it's like early 30s. So I'm just hitting my stride.
Fair enough. But the thing is, like, actually with the funny thing is, like, what's it called? Like, the strength, like, as you get older, you can actually still get stronger. Like, a lot of, like, the, what's it called? Like, world's strongest men are on the older side. They're mostly, like, I don't want to say, like, 40s, but, like, they're anywhere from, like, their 30s to, like, sometimes in their 50s. Like, the world's strongest men are, like, they're in, like, that zone. Like, most people think, okay, prime, like, 21, like I said, 21, 26, but very few of the world's strongest men competitors are in that stage at 21, 26. So, like, really, it comes down to prime. So, like I said, that's why I prefaced it with, well, it depends on what your sport is. It depends on what your definition of prime is. Because, like, you could be in your prime real late in, like, the athletic life, or you could be in your prime really early in your athletic life. It really depends on where you peak. So, like, some people peak at 14 and then never get any better. Those are, like, those high school athletes that stay childish after high school, because it's like, I hit my peak, bro, and then never get any better. But then there's some people that peaked
early,
real late. Yeah, you peaked early, or you peak real late, and, like, you may have sucked in early in your career, and then, like, toward the end, where your experience, like, kind of carries you through, and then you start to utilize that experience and be able to play better. The later half of your playing career might be your peak. So, like I said, like, it kind of depends on where your peak is. But in terms of, like, physical prime peak, it's really come down to, like, usually 21, 26. And then experience kind of takes it another level if you're able to keep it going.
Yeah. There was, you know how people say, like, somebody's got, like, dad strength?
Yeah.
So that was actually studied and proven to be a thing. Caleb, I don't know if you
heard
look
about
up
that, to be honest.
The dad strength study, how, so what it really is being able to recruit as many muscle fibers as, like, you can, because you've been in your body for a lot longer. You know your body a lot better, and you have the ability to recruit a lot more muscle fibers than when you're still kind of learning, still kind of forming those neural pathways. And like, so dad strength is a real thing.
That would explain why they get hurt a lot more too. Like, I feel like dads hurt themselves trying to do things they were able to do younger, and then they just blow out a knee or blow out a hamstring or whatever. Like, I see a friend of mine. So my dad's boss went to, like, a dance. I think he went to a wedding and started, like, busting his stuff on the dance floor. Went to do, like, the splits. and, like, tore his hamstring. And he actually had to go to the hospital. Like, get it patched up again, because he tore it that bad. So, like, I mean, that's a different, that's not really strength. That's more flexibility. But, like, still, you're more likely to hurt yourself doing random things, because that would make sense. You're able to recruit more muscle fiber than you're used to. So you may just try a little too hard, and next thing you know, you blow out something.
Yeah, so as you get older and you do less mobility work and less flexibility work, you're able to recruit more muscle fibers because your central nervous system has all of those pathways. So there's really a inverse relationship to that. You're going to get a lot more tendon tears, you're going to get a lot more pulls and things of that nature, because soreness. You can, because you're able to do that, but it's not always going to be good for your body.
Yeah, it's like that hysterical strength where they tell you, like, a woman was able to lift her car under, that her baby was trapped under, because in those extreme scenarios, your body or your brain just shuts off the limiters that allow you to use 100% of your muscle mass or 100% of your muscle strength. Because if you're able to do that on a regular, you're going to tear stuff. You're going to hurt yourself because your body can't sustain that for a long period of time. So that's why they call it hysterical strength or fight or flight, because it's not something you want to use all the time. Like, I think we limit ourselves to like 70-80% of our muscle strength just for that occasional moment of need where we really need to use 100%. It's there when you need it versus when you don't need it.
Were you able to find anything, Caleb?
Yeah, you basically, exactly what you were talking about is exactly what I found. So just about like how speed and reflexes can decline, dad strength can more than make up for it.
Who did the study?
Let me try to find it. But it was saying that strength can decrease as little as 1% per year. So it's
oh, it's not bad.
Yeah, it says, that's not terrible. Project that's, 40. I think that's if you're consistently working out, though. Interesting.
Oh, wait, isn't that the book that I have?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person. That's your book.
I don't know. It could be. It's something about 40 in the book. I haven't read it yet, clearly.
Yeah. But I mean, that's fair. But like, I would say, like, I feel like if your strength drops off 1% per year, I think that's if you're consistently training. Like, I feel like if you're not consistently training, your strength drops off a lot more than that. Cause I noticed, like, for me, like, I wasn't the most like consistent person that worked out, hence the reason why I had to buy a gym membership. But like, I was like on and off consistently, and I was always using the weights I had at the gym. So in my head, I had like consistent strength. And then I talked about before we went on air, like, I went to do leg day on Monday. And I knew I wasn't as strong as I used to be able to do. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to be smart. I'm going to go like light weights, or at least in my head, what I thought was light back then. So I was like, okay, like, I started with like 135, like squat, just to like do reps of 10, just to kind of see how it felt. That felt heavy. And I was almost depressed. Like, I was like, 135 is usually like my pre-warm-up weight. And then I'm like, okay, let's go up to like 185. And then I went up to 225, and I just kind of capped it at 225 and did reps of 10. And I was just like, bruh, this hurts. Like, my form was out of whack. My strength is just like not there. I'm just like, this hurts. Like, I used to be able to do almost double this, and I could barely do like half of it. And I'm just like, this is, I mean, granted, I'm doing way more reps than I usually do. I usually do like 5 to 6, but like, it still hurt inside knowing like 225 is now kind of heavy to me. And
your
I know
ego hurt.
Yes. That was, I mean, my legs hurt the next day too. That didn't help either. But like, yeah, my ego hit real hard. And I was just like, well, the upside is I don't have to move so many damn plates to get on the damn bar. That was the one upside to leaving lighter weights. But the downside was my ego was shot. And I had a long road to get back to where I kind of was. I don't know if I'll ever go up as heavy as I used to be able to do, but at least get it up to like what I consider a respectable number for myself. Especially for as big as my legs are, they should be able to do a whole lot more. So we'll see.
Yeah, that was the nice thing about having the home gym is, you know, I can kind of check my ego, even though you're supposed to do it at a regular gym, you know, just kind of check the ego at the door. And I mean, it's just me in there. And I want to make sure that I come back with my form developed and back to where it was before I worry about weight. I mean, I can visually see my legs have gotten smaller, and it makes me very sad inside. But luckily, I am someone that has bigger legs, so even though my legs are small right now, they're still above average, you know?
Yeah.
But starting at 95, getting my form back, I really need to actually probably do a little bit more mobility work, because even just getting in the squat was like, this feels weird.
Yep.
But getting that back, it makes it a lot less I don't feel any pressure to like get back up right away. So I'm really hoping that monkey foot gets here tomorrow so that I can, I can practice and get that thing in and start to build back some of the stabilizers again and really get that number back up.
Yeah. Like, I know like the whole ego thing, like, should be checked at the door, but like, it was just like,
it's not, it should, but it's not a thing.
Yeah. It like, I was like, it was like, I know, because I knew in my head, like, I'm going lighter, so that way I can work my weight back up, because I know I'm not going to be able to go peak strength right away, because that would be dumb, because I've only been squatting 90 pounds for, like, a while. And, like, it was mostly, like, the first day, the 135, I forgot, like, if you go too light, it actually throws your form off, because the bar is so light, and I'm like, okay, go a little heavier, and, like, I was able to fix my form, I'm like, okay, I'm good, and now I'm like, okay, let's go a little bit heavier, but not push it. Like, it wasn't, like, super heavy, but it was, like, heavy enough where I'm like, all right, if I went, like, real heavy, I'm not going to get the number where I thought I could get to, even though I knew it wouldn't happen. But I was just like, what, like, give me, like, 2 months, and, like, maybe I'll get to where. Yeah, like, I just want to get back to where I was. Like, just get to, like, 300, and I don't care what the number after that is. Just three. Start with a three, and we're good. Like, that's what I want to get to.
Three plates.
Point. Yeah, let's say it's three probably plates is a
nice, even number.
315 simple, easy number that I'm in love with. So yes, but yeah,
perfect. We kind of got away from our topic a little bit, but that's all right. We found some fun rabbit holes. Yeah, yeah. So we'll post that picture when we release this. And did you want to bring up what we were kind of brainstorming before we get out of here?
Yeah, but I was gonna bring that up toward the end, like right at the end, but this is probably the end anyway. But so kind of tying into me getting my gym membership and like me posting on Instagram, because I need to keep myself more accountable. And I was like, you know what? If I'm gonna keep myself accountable and I'm listing like the number of days that I'm consecutively doing workouts, I'm like, might as well make a challenge out of it, because that'll keep me more motivated. And if I'm gonna do a challenge, I'm not gonna do it alone, because screw that, it's never fun. So I'm gonna make a challenge. We're gonna post it up all out. What it's gonna be, it's gonna be probably a 30-day challenge. It'll be pretty simple. It'll be something along the lines of 30 consecutive days of different attributes of health. We're gonna be focusing on, at least the way I planned it out, again, the details are still going to be worked out, but the plan was 30 days of physical movement or physical activity. So it doesn't have to be always a workout. If you have a dodgeball tournament coming up, you can do a dodgeball tournament. If you have to do a recovery day, a light walk, or some type of physical activity that doesn't involve you just sitting at work and going home, sitting down all day. So something that's active every single day. For
yoga, anything.
Anything goes for that. Second one will be nutrition. I'm not going to be super specific. I'll just be like, no fast food, no added sugars. I might add more rules to that, but I want to keep this challenge as simple as possible. That's while it's still a challenge, it's still attainable. Where it's like, okay, you have to have like 3,000 calories a day. I don't want to do all that for you guys. So just keeping it real simple. So no added sugars, no fast foods. Try to avoid, I don't know, greasy foods or anything like that. So that'd be pops. That'll cover your pops. Well, I mean, that's added sugar right there. So like anything super sugary is like
true.
Desserts. If you do coffee, iced coffee from like Starbucks, your Starbucks drinks people. That's what I'm targeting.
If you don't drink black coffee, you're not a real coffee drinker.
I mean, I don't drink coffee, so I'm not a coffee drinker anyway. We could add caffeine into that too.
Black.
Yes. I'll throw caffeine.
I might be out.
No, man, you gotta do it. Let's say if I'm gonna do it, you gotta do it with me. What's up?
I have been thinking about this, and because my caffeine consumption has been going back up. And Sage is an enabler because she bought a case of the monsters, and they're in the basement, so I know they're there.
Yeah.
And then pre workout, but whatever. So have you heard of mud water?
Yes.
So it's kind of, it's, I don't want to call
like
it a coffee.
It's like a coffee replacement, right?
Yeah. I didn't want to use those words, but it's like an alternative. That's what I'm looking for. Cause nothing can replace coffee. So it's like an alternative to coffee where it's a lot less caffeine, but it's got a lot more of the like vitamins and minerals to keep you energized, like a lot of vitamin B's and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I was debating trying that. So if we do this challenge, when we do this challenge, I think I'm going to get that and see how that goes.
Okay.
And then do I have to give up my pre-workout?
I might let that one slide. Like if you don't use it as a if you don't use it to boost yourself awake in the morning, I'll allow it. But if you're using it for your workouts and only for workouts, then I'm like, all right, you can slide. But that's going to be a self accountability thing where like, if you don't need the pre-workout, don't take it. But if you really need it for kind of an extra boost your workout, then take it. So I might have that in like a sub, like fine print somewhere in there. We'll see. But yeah, so.
I have been trying to get better with pre-workout though as well, because I like when I do like shoulders or arms, like, and that's my workout. Mm-hmm. I've just been taking my beetroot powder and instead of all the pre-workout, especially when I'm working out at like 7 o'clock at night. So
yeah.
All right.
Baby steps. But yeah, so that covers physical activity, that covers nutrition. We're going to add sleep into that. So get your 7 to 9 hours of sleep. That's probably going to be like one of the hardest things for a lot of people. I know for me this week, I think I've been like averaging like 4 hours of sleep, which is terrible. I mean, partially because I'm at my parents' house. I can't sleep because they keep it at like 75, 76 degrees, which is awful, like beyond awful. I cannot tell you how I cannot sleep if it's like above 68. Like, I cannot sleep. So that's a whole other ordeal. But yeah, so sleep will be another one. And then we might add a mental aspect into it. We'll have to figure that out.
You know what we should do? Instead of like a mental aspect where I think we should include some kind of dodgeball related task, whether you're watching like film, like watching games and trying to see what you can pick up from players, or maybe you're throwing, or maybe you're working on something like your reaction time, something to do with dodgeball as a sport. Or maybe you want to work on, you know, adding a new throw to your arsenal or something along those lines. Something dodgeball related, I think, would be really good.
Something like that will probably have to be like not every day, but maybe like every other day or every few days or something like that, depending on what we decide. So I'm down with that. So we can add a dodgeball aspect into it. We can skip the mental because we're mostly looking on like the physical aspect to it. And then we could do another completely different unrelated challenge.
Mental challenge later.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that'll be coming up soon. I just got to figure out how to plan that out and then figure out how to make it look all nice and fancy, so that way you guys can actually enjoy looking at the challenge versus just having a Google spreadsheet and then just
nothing but it. Once we get it all written out, I can do all the fancy stuff to it and then turn it into a PDF and actually post it on the website, so that way there's a link and they can download it right from the website and we can go from there.
Nice. I like it. So yeah, but again, if you guys want to follow me on Instagram, watch me suffer through workouts. I'll probably try to be more vocal. Right now I'm just posting pictures, but I think once the challenge starts, I'll probably be like posting updates about like, hey, this is how I'm feeling. This is day like one. I'm already complaining because I'm already gonna have it. I know I'm gonna have an issue with the no sugar part, but that's gonna be personally. So if you guys wanted to see me whine from day to day about random things, follow the Instagram on the story and then just keep each other accountable. Ooh, we could probably for people that want to do a challenge, maybe we can make like a group of some sort and like just have people post in the group about like, hey, this is what I'm doing today. This is what, how I'm feeling, like kind of like just, dodgeball fit the win.
Just do it in the squad group.
Or that too. I forgot we have that, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, just do it in the squad group.
Works. So yes.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've been trying to get better. Oh yeah.
I've been trying to get better on the videotaping of the workouts. We're on such a bad lag right now.
Yeah.
I tried to videotape because the other day I did like the windshield wipers for abs, and I was like, oh, maybe I should post something because I haven't posted anything on Instagram since like March. It's been just like stories that have like not even anything I'm involved in. It's just quotes or something I see that I'm like, yeah, that's cool, I'll share it. But I tried to like film it and my phone fell over and I'm like, forget it. So yeah. I need to try to get better at that too.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably, now that I have like an actual like gym now with actual like good equipment and like access to things, I'm gonna try to get more videos in, but we'll see. I don't want to be that guy that's like setting up a camera. I don't like, you have a at home gym, that doesn't count. That's true. Are that guy by yourself. You have no judgment unless Sage walks in. You can't count that.
Oh, Sophia will be out there dancing in front of me while I'm trying to like teach somebody how to do a lift.
That's fair. But at least that's fun. Like, that's good quality video, though. Like, I'll have people just staring at you like, bro, what are you doing? Like, the upside is I'll be working around like around noon, so there won't be as many people in the gym, in theory. Hopefully not, but we'll see how it goes.
Just hit him with the follow me, bro.
Yeah. I'll do it. Let's go. More followers, more better.
All right. Do we have anything else we want to throw in there real quick?
No, I think I covered everything I wanted to bring up.
Caleb, you're good?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Make sure you check out Nagini Brand. Go to their website if you haven't gotten your finger braces yet, or the finger. I don't know what.
Rings, the technical rings.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What do they call the doubles or the buddies? And you got your finger rings. Go check them out.
Yeah.
that was a fail. Go check them out. Use Ballout 15 at checkout to save some money. And make sure you're following all of our social media: Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Go check out the website. Yeah, that's all I got, man. I'm good if you're good.
I'm good, man.
All right, and we out.
Peace out, guys.